Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to another episode of Betches Brides. I'm your host, Fallon Carter, and a very, very Merry Christmas to you all today. Joining us is Susie Saltzman. Thank you so much, Susie, for joining us today. Susie offers an alternative to traditional fine jewelry. She draws on over a decade of experience in the jewelry industry to help educate couples as they create the engagement ring of their dreams together. And maybe today you'll be getting that bling that you so desired for so long. Susie, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so thrilled to be here.
We're so excited that you're here. So I think the question on everyone's mind, you work with couples specifically to help them craft this ring. Mm-hmm. That's basically the period on a very special day. How does one go about even preparing to budget for this timeless piece of jewelry?
It's an excellent question. And I think it probably goes without saying that it's a very personal decision. There are kind of old rules or philosophies where you should be investing 3 months' salary on an engagement ring. But I think a lot of those rules have kind of like fallen to the side. And I think that people really have to determine what they're comfortable with and, what feels comfortable for them. Like, I don't think it's something you should, you know, push yourself hard on in terms of budget, but what feels like an investment, like a gesture, but not, pressuring yourself from an investment or budget perspective.
And it's very similar to a wedding. It's like couples are like, how much should I spend on a wedding? And I'm like, it really is kind of up to you. There are averages, there are kind of concepts of what you could spend, but it's really what works within your budget. When you're working with couples specifically on the engagement ring process, what are the conversations you're having and who are those decision makers in the room when you guys are talking?
So we work with couples jointly over half of the time. So I would say probably closer to about 60% of the time we're working with both members of the couple. And so it's often something that they have discussed and they want to be aligned on. You know, it's difficult sometimes if someone wants to and, you know, spend $5,000 or $10,000 and, you know, maybe someone else was hoping the budget was 20. So, I mean, I can give you like average numbers of what we do. And, you know, there is a bit of an investment inherent to the way that we custom design rings, but it's not hugely cost prohibitive to custom design. And we've now actually started designing with lab grown diamonds as well. So, you know, rings of a certain carat weight are far more affordable now than they were 2, 3, 5 years ago. So that's kind of an exciting opportunity for people to consider as well.
Well, you've brought up the number one question, lab versus the old fashioned way. Talk to me.
So I, as you mentioned, when you so beautifully introduced me, I've been doing, you know, I've had my own company for about a decade and I've been working in the industry for closer to 20 years and dating myself. But so I started to notice an increase in interest of lab-grown diamonds around the pandemic, like 19 to 2020. And then in 2020, like middle to end of the year, so many people were asking for lab-grown diamonds. Before that, I had out of probably about 1,000 rings, I had made one that was lab grown. And I can tell you now that like, it became such a large interest and such a common request that I actually started a whole second company that specializes in lab grown diamond rings and also lab grown fine jewelry. Because even if people decide that they want a natural diamond for their engagement ring, it's now really, it's not like taboo to have lab-grown studs or like a solitaire necklace because it's a fraction of the price. Lab-grown diamonds are now way more popular. The prices have pretty much like probably bottomed out. And they're interesting to people, I think, for two primary reasons. One being that they arguably can be more sustainable than a natural diamond. You're not excavating the earth. You know, they're being grown in laboratories. So there could be an argument made that it's a smaller carbon footprint. And secondly, they're far more affordable. And a lab-grown diamond is a real diamond. I try to remain really like fact-based on the topic and try to be neutral. You know, I think that it really, at the end of the day, is a lot about personal preference. And budget almost always becomes a factor because a 2-carat natural stone can be over twice what a 2-carat lab-grown diamond would be.
Could you give me an apples-to-apples example of a potential cost of a lab versus a natural?
Absolutely. So if we were making a 2-carat natural GIA certified diamond, very high quality, of course, it's going to range a little bit depending upon quality of the stone, shape of the stone, the actual setting. But that in this market and natural diamond prices are at an all-time high. A 2-carat high quality GIA certified natural diamond ring is going to cost you above $20,000, in some cases $30,000, $40,000, depending upon the quality of the stone. We can still custom design a setting, use an even higher quality 2-carat lab grown diamond, and the total investment for that ring, inclusive of the custom design and setting and everything, can be closer to like the, I'd say, $9,500 to $12,500 range. Yeah.
I know. And you said my favorite word, sustainable. So.
That's right. Yes. But lab-growns are tricky because they're not as regulated, meaning like it's a man-made substance. So you have a bit of a range of quality. So in my opinion, it's like, and people can be a bit lenient with the grading and what laboratory they're using to grade the stone. So if you're selecting a lab-grown diamond, I think buying it online is even riskier than buying a natural stone. Like, I think you really want to work with someone who is going to, you know, supply you like the whole experience, right? Like selecting the lab-grown diamond and really making sure it's a high-quality stone, but also that you're, you know, getting the type of setting and the whole package and experience that you want.
Okay. So right now, when you're working with couples, what's kind of the next step to, do I need to share inspiration? Does my partner need to know? Like, talk to me about kind of crafting it. What's that process like?
Thanks. That's like the really fun part. And people usually come to me knowing or having some inclination whether or not they want lab or natural. And if they don't, like, again, I try to just remain very neutral on that topic. And whether we proceed with a natural diamond or a lab-grown diamond, we go through a really thorough sourcing process together. So we take a small deposit because we're doing like quite a bit of work up front to source diamonds for people. We meet with them either virtually or in person, where we narrow it down to anywhere between like 5 and 10, or in some cases 12 diamonds that we're presenting them. And that first round of sourcing is intended to be really educational. So we're kind of talking you through like the 4 C's, and ultimately, like, hoping we help you fall in love with the diamond and decide what, you know, what is your stone. And at that point, then we really get into design. But it is helpful when people have some idea of what they want. Like, do they want a solitaire? Do they want a 3-stone ring? And knowing what shape diamond they want is also really, really helpful. A lot of times when people come to me, they have some idea of what they want. And we have signature styles. We have like branded collections under, you know, my namesake brand. And I think people typically kind of like fall in love with that overall aesthetic or vibe. And then we can kind of extract details from one style and another and kind of piece them together and give people creative control over little details that matter, like the height of the diamond off your finger, like the not sexy details, but that if you don't get those little things right, like the band with like, or the way that the wedding band fits with your ring, it can be really like heartbreaking for people in the end. So I like to think that we've kind of mastered extracting all the info we need to then custom design someone's dream ring.
And that's, you bring up a valid point, matching the wedding band with the engagement ring. So you're kind of doing those activities together.
So I like to ask the question up front because one of the many beauties of custom designing an engagement ring is that you can consider how you want a band to fit. And one of the most important details to whoever is going to be wearing this ring is going to be if a wedding band can sit flush or if there's like a little gap or space. And I think it drives most people nuts when there's like a little bit of a space between the two rings. So we don't have to know what wedding band you want. We just have to kind of know if you have a fit preference. And as long as you have like a delicate or, you know, not a huge statement eternity band, we have, you know, mastered being able to design a ring that's still low. It's not like toppling off the finger, but still, you know, will allow for wedding bands.
I love. Have you ever felt that fast fashion ick, but can't always afford the super high-end stuff? I have a solution for you. Nuuly. Nuuly has everything you need to bring your closet up to speed for the season without breaking the bank. Free your closet of impulse purchases and skip the buyer's remorse by renting instead. So Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service. For just $98 a month, you can get your choice of any six styles. You choose whatever you want to rent for whatever you have going on. It's totally up to you. There are no parameters. You get access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands. There are no fees. There's no late fees, no damage fees, no fees to pause or cancel. So no big deal if you like lose a button. I spilled something on it. Or you just need to take a break. They have inclusive sizing all the way up to 5X, as well as petite and maternity. You always have the option to buy what you love for sometimes up to 75% off. Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any six styles. But right now, you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code BRIDES20. Just go to Nuuly.com. That's Nuuly with two U's and enter the code BRIDES20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's Nuuly.com. Nuuly with two U's with code BRIDES20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Understanding, let's say there's an heirloom moment. They've been gifted something from a great-great-grandmother or there's something in the family. How does one go about kind of potentially taking those stones and turning it into something that is more modern and fits their needs? Or what's kind of that process of making an heirloom kind of brought up to date or maybe keeping it as is?
It's one of my favorite projects to work on because there's just so much sentiment and love and emotion, like, out of the gate. And, you know, like for a lot of people, it's bittersweet or it's sad, you know, where the sentiment comes from. Like sometimes it's a, you know, a parent who has passed away and this is really their way of like carrying that person, not only into their wedding, but into this next chapter of their life. So it's really special and we approach it, you know, not dissimilarly to if we were sourcing and selecting the diamond on our own, where it's really about this diamond being like the centerpiece. My approach to design is that like we really want to highlight the uniqueness of this diamond and showcase the beauty. And that looks different for everyone, you know, but it's different, but it's the same. Every ring is going to have like a gallery or a setting, the part that holds the diamond, and then the shank or the band that goes around the finger. So, you know, it's like understanding, do you want something vintage inspired? Do you want something delicate? Do you want something chunky or bold? Do you want it to feel like an engagement ring? You know, sometimes with heirloom pieces, people are setting them in necklaces, you know, like wearing them closer to the heart. So it really depends upon, I'd say, the piece that they want to set the diamond into and then what their overall kind of style or aesthetic is. And we can do really cute, sweet things. Like, for example, on the back of necklaces, we've done little engraved tags that have like a birth date or like a baby's initials, or we've embedded stones on the inside of rings that are like the birthstones of like deceased parents. So we try to have some fun and creativity with that.
You can get a little saucy. I'm here for it. It sounds like there's like so many options. Like working with a jeweler is kind of the best way to go about this. Like, because you have so many ideas. I would never have thought of those ideas. Like that's all those personal touches are beautiful.
Thanks. I mean, I like to think that like that's one, again, like it's not just when you decide to custom design a ring, it's not just about like making something that's pretty, right? Like there's a whole experience that we want to exchange with the clients that we take on. And we, not everybody works that way. And also custom is defined like very, very loosely in the industry. People will like take componentry, meaning like a basket and a shank, and they'll solder them together and say it's a custom piece. And they're not wrong, but like we work very differently where we're not retrofitting your stone into anything that exists. Like even if we're repeating a proprietary design of mine that's a signature style, like we scan in your diamond, build your setting around your stone. And it just allows people to feel like really intimately involved in building something that's like a keepsake. Like it's an heirloom. It's intended to have emotion. So I think allowing people to be really personally involved in that process really impacts what it means to them years down the road.
And that brings me to my next question. What is the best way to approach kind of bringing your partner along and making this like an kind of like a group effort? Just because traditionally it's kind of like a, I know you said a lot of your couples are really kind of coming, or you said 60% are coming together. But for the most part, it's usually like one partner is the one who's the head decision maker and presents the ring to partner two. And it's supposed to be this magical thing. But how does one go about kind of making this a group effort?
This is one of my favorite questions because it looks so different than it looked even 10, 12, 15 years ago. Like I remember my older siblings getting proposed to and like they had no clue what the ring was going to look like. So I love that like the person who's going to wear the ring gets a say, you know, like this is what I want. It's typically a large investment, usually one of the biggest investments that a couple has made to date. So it's nice to know that you're going to do this together and that you're not guessing, you know, like, you know, that your partner is going to love what you do. So I've had a couple of people get like really creative and they'll like surprise their partner. Like we have people fly in often from out of town because we're based in New York and lower Manhattan, which is where we see our clients. And people will like pretend like they're coming in for the weekend and going to lunch. And then it's like, surprise. And I always love that. Like, it's just really fun and a fun way to kind of kick off the process. We've had other people like write notes. And then there are other people who are just really open in their relationship. And they're like, I want a ring from Susie. And, you know, they have a supportive partner and they do it together. And I also like to think that like we've mastered the kind of like the extracting what's important from the couple, right? Like understanding stylistically what they want. I know the key questions to ask so that like I can then kind of run full steam with design. And at some point, whoever is going to be wearing the ring bows out of the process, right? Like we can be vague or even mislead them with timeline. Like I've had guys be like, oh, or people be like, can you tell them that it takes 6 months to make? Like, you know, there are fun ways to still make sure that there's an element of surprise.
I am going to go on Pinterest after this and start creating a mood board of the ring that I want. I just thought of that so that I can make sure that you're ready when my person comes along. But pin in that. Timing. Mm-hmm. How long does it take to make a ring?
We have custom made rings in as little as a week and a half. It is not ideal. Like, we can do some, I can't even be boastful. Like I have a team of people who are helping me, like engineers building the rings, jewelers, setters. I'm kind of the one just like, you know, managing all of it. So they're the ones that we have thankfully wonderful exclusive relationships with them. And so they'll do us favors and can rush things. But a normal timeline that we prefer to work with is 2 to 3 months. If we have, you know, 4 weeks, like that sometimes is enough. It depends upon how smoothly each segment of the process goes. And then it also depends upon how complex the design is. Like, are there a lot of small diamonds or pave work? Because the, you know, time to custom make that and set all of those small diamonds takes a lot longer than a solitaire. So a general answer is 2 to 3 months, but there's always, you know, a little bit of wiggle room. We try to work with people. And one of the questions we ask up front is, you know, if there's a timeline or when they're hoping to propose by. And we try to do our best to make sure they can get their plans done. But like, if we can weave this back in, you pin away, figure out what you want, but like, you don't have to wait. Also, like, we're coming out with a collection next year that's going to be right hand ring. I don't know if you know, I'm single. I'm a single mom. I'm like, I want to rock a right hand ring. Like, get inspired. Like, you should, you don't have to wait for no one, wait for nothing. You are like perfect and loved and lovable and beautiful as you are. So start pinning and we can talk offline.
Right hand ring. I'm here for that until I get my left hand ring.
That's right. That's right.
Craziest engagement story, if you can share, like the quickest turnaround, one of these, like somebody came in and like hit me hard with something.
The sad thing is like my mind immediately goes to like some of these like horrible stories where like people like just make it's like, why? Like, please don't propose like in the snow or like in the ocean. Like, just don't do it. Even if you have insurance, like just don't do it. I mean, I can tell you like the craziest turnaround time was this one ring that we made in a week and a half. And I was like sweating bullets. Like, I think everyone on the team was like hyperventilating over it. Timeline's stressful. And like, if people have plans, like you mess them up if you don't hit the timeline. So yeah, it was just a whirlwind of, you know, and it's also like, of course, when there's the pressure of time, things never go perfectly, right? It's like, oh, we thought that this 3-millimeter stone was going to work, but we need a 4.5. So hurry up and run and go. You know, it's just chaos. But I like to think that like the experience on top, it's like, what do they say? Like a duck or a swan above water, where like the experience should feel very like, but underneath sometimes we're like, oh my God, are we going to get it done? But knock on wood, we almost always get it done.
I'm sweating even just thinking about it. A week turnaround, I'd be like, what you're proposing, what I'm sure at the top of a mountain and you've already calculated it and the time is, you mastered the sunrise and the sunset and my ring is the only thing that's standing in the way of this being the success. No pressure.
Totally. And like Courtney, who is like my right hand, she'll tell you, like, she's always like, just say we can't do it. And like, I hate to say no. So I'm like, well, I'll try. Like, well, you know, we're always willing to try. But sometimes it's more stress than it's worth. And like the last thing that you want to do is like compromise the integrity or the quality of somebody's ring. So like timeline is definitely something we like to discuss up front. And I like to think that like most people, if you want to custom design a ring, like I don't think most people are expecting to have it in a couple of weeks.
Except for, of course, some people who are just like, everything happens in the night.
And I'm sure we'll get a few more of them before the end of the year, which is why I'm like, you know what? No, we can't, but you can go shop these few rings that are ready to ship if, you know, you've waited too long and now you have to propose.
And here you are. What's one thing that you wish more of your couples knew about this engagement ring process?
I wish people... And I think this is actually happening. I think people are starting to kind of like reframe or redefine what investment means when it comes to an engagement ring. Like, and this ties back primarily to lab-grown diamonds versus natural diamonds, because I think that people, one of the biggest deterrents, like if someone only wants to sell you a natural diamond, they're going to tell you there's no buyback market for lab-grown diamonds. It's true. Like if you wanted to go sell back that ring in 5 weeks or 5 years or 15 years, no one's going to buy it back for you anywhere close to what you paid for it. And no one may be willing to buy it back at all. However, it's not that dissimilar with natural diamonds, meaning like if you want to go sell that ring, even 20 years down the road, when hypothetically it should have increased in value, if the general rule is if you get like a sixth of what you paid, it's considered a good return. So I think that people should really look at this as like, it's an heirloom and it's an investment and it's a value because of the emotion that it holds, instead of like looking at it from a strictly financial perspective. And I think that just opens up what people are able to do together, and allows them to be more creative. And that's really what my hope is for the process. We want it to feel like joyful and fun. And again, my hope is that like we're taking the stress out of it and replacing it with like connection and intimacy between couples, because I think otherwise it can be a very intimidating process. I think people should just be a little bit more open to like what it means, the sentiment, and like, you know, redefining what investment means when it comes to a piece of fine jewelry.
I love that. That's a really great close as we transition now to some emails. Oh, we love your emails, my friends. Please continue to send them to brides@betches.com. Slide in our DMs. You know where to find us. We love to hear from you. And we've got two emails about rings. So we're going to get right into it. I'm going to read the first one. So my fiance proposed to me in the most beautiful, spectacular, surprising way. And I am so very happy. I love, L-O-V-E is capital. I love the ring. And it's exactly, all capital letters, exactly what I wanted. I feel bad saying this, and maybe I'm overthinking it because we have IG to compare our rings to, but I want another carat. I can afford it. So my question is, do I do it and not tell? I don't even know he would notice. Would I need to tell the original jeweler since he had it insured? I don't even know if it's possible to add to a ring or if I need a whole other diamond. It's even hard to think to begin the conversation with the jeweler. Help. Do I drop it or wait for a push present?
This is a hard question. Not an uncommon question. I hate to say that, but people, I think a lot of times are like, I wish it were a little bigger. And Instagram can do that. It's also part of why everyone wants a lab-grown ring, because you can get so much more. So I would say live with it for a while. Live with it for 3 months, for 6 months. Start planning your wedding and see how much, you know, all of that costs. And you know your relationship better than anyone else. Like, is your partner going to be like, yeah, sure, cool, we'll get whatever you want? Or are they going to feel upset about it or hurt? Or again, like the sentiment is kind of, or the emotion and love is not, is kind of lost if you're redoing something together. To answer the more technical questions, like if you want another carat, yes, you'll need a whole new diamond. And more likely than not, you will need a whole new setting. And it's not to say that it can't be done, like, especially if it's a natural diamond, the majority of what you've invested or spent is going to be in that diamond. And if you have a good relationship with your jeweler, and your jeweler should be, you know, kind enough to do this, they should take it back and, you know, issue you a credit and help you with a new one. So maybe you do it as a 5-year anniversary gift, but sit with it for a while, and then I would say assess how comfortable, like, or what it's going to feel like for your partner before you open up the conversation.
That's great advice. I like the sit with it 3 months, 6 months. I definitely like the 5-year, but I'm still stuck on the, I love it. It's exactly what I want, but is it? Do you love it? Is it exactly what you want? And I'm also under like the thought of what is an extra carat going to do other than just make it look bigger? Is that going to do anything for your love for each other? Does that one extra carat represent anything more meaningful about the gift itself? And I think we've answered a question like this before. I'm like, about a ring. I'm like, why are you trying to change it? They did something like that's so nice. And you're over here like, can we make it bigger?
Yeah.
Like, yes. Yes, you can. But also, just, I don't know. I'm coming from like a, just be grateful. But yes.
That also, it then changes the whole thing. You know, it's like, it's what is that conversation going to do for the meaning around all of this, right? So that's why it's like, you know your partner best. Like if it's going to really be upsetting and damaging, like don't do it. To your point, like it doesn't change, it's not changing your love, you know?
Yeah, I agree. So but I do say sleep on it. Cause if you're like, oh, it's great, but if you do have the money to do it, yes, you can, but good call. If it's gonna ruffle some feathers, it ain't worth it, honey. All right. Hello, Betches Brides. While I am a future bride and a lover of the pod, I have a ring dilemma surrounding my friend that I hope you can help me with. My best friend thinks her boyfriend is going to propose. Very exciting. And she has been sending me photos of engagement rings she wants me to have ready if he asks for advice. So here's the issue. She has been sending me fantasy-themed engagement rings. While beautiful, the rings all have fairy wings, elven script, or a variety of fantasy elements to it. Again, while beautiful, these rings very much look like costume jewelry. I'm not here to yuck someone's yum, but I'm wondering if I should try and talk her out of these themed rings, or should I just let it go and hope they can afford another ring if she changes her mind down the road?
You should go out and have some fun and try some rings on together and make it a whole process, because you don't want to tell someone what they don't want. You want them to come to the conclusion that it's not what they want. So embrace it. Be like, oh, awesome. Have you seen any of these in person? These look so cool. I'm so curious. What's the meaning behind these? Where can we go try some on? And then go try other things on and just have your friend, like, have a conversation about it and have some fun. And I don't know, see if maybe that leads her down a different path.
That is an amazing tip.
Thanks. I mean, this is supposed to be a fun process, like, and there are really no rules. Like, go out, have fun, go with your girlfriends, go with your mom, go, you know, go with whoever, but like, have fun and figure out what you want and make sure. And like, you can be timeless and, you know, have fun and creative. I think rare is a person who really wants and ends up loving something that's like super unconventional.
Interesting. I was going to say, because when I read this, I was like, oh, well, if that's what she wants, don't imprint your worldview or what you want on what her wants are. But I like the concept of exposing one to a variety of different options for said ring. And maybe she can just add the elven script on the inside of a lovely solitaire.
Yeah. Or like have fun with band rings or do other things. But also, like, this fairy trend is like super new. So it's like, it's thrilling. It's exciting because everybody wants something that no one else has, right? But it's like, you know, when you make a bad decision with a pair of shoes or a purse and you're like, gosh, I wish I would have like not rushed. Like, see if you still love it in 3 months or 6 months, the same kind of, you know, advice, but try things on, sit with it for a while. And this really is like, it's something that you're going to want to love and wear every day for a very long period of time. So maybe think about what you're going to love now and when you're 30 and 40 and 50 and 70 and, you know, if it's still going to feel as beautiful then.
I think that's one of the best advice, right? What I'm hearing from you is don't rush, take your time, sit with it. All of those things are like, yes.
I mean, it's like buying a house, buying a car, like you should do, you know, look around and really have some conviction about what you want. Cause it can, you know, it's shiny and beautiful and a lot of things can be really exciting, but you want to just see if your taste changes even in a short period of time. So
this feels like picking out a tattoo. I'd be like, I sure hope I love this saying in about 5 months from now.
Right. Well, and for some people, they do get stuck on permanently. One of my girlfriends just had to have her engagement ring cut off her finger in the hospital. It happens. I mean, like, I know, don't be scared. It's like, she's the only person I know that it's happened to. It's not that permanent. In most cases. And even that, they were able to cut it off. So,
oh, I'm so sad for her. I have to have a backstory. What happened? Did her fingers get so swollen?
And it happens. Like, I gained weight when I was pregnant. You know, like a lot of people, if you wear your ring all the time and never take it off and then your finger size changes, like you can get your ring stuck on permanently. I mean, I would panic. I'd be so claustrophobic. But and then she had a procedure and they couldn't get it off. So they had to like cut it off her finger. I mean, they cut the ring off, not her finger off, obviously. But my jeweler's trying to like salvage it now. It happens. It's not very common.
Heart emojis to her. Now, let's play a game of unpopular opinions brought to you by Jewelers Mutual. As we learned, accidents can happen. That's where Jewelers Mutual comes in. Jewelers Mutual Insurance covers things like damage and disappearance, which gives you the peace of mind and confidence when wearing all your jewelry. And that's always popular. But for now, let's get into our first unpopular opinion. You ready?
I'm ready. I'm nervous.
Okay.
I'm
ready. All right. It's going to be easy. The game is called Unpopular Opinions. So my producer has picked out a few of our listeners' unpopular opinions, and it's our job to discuss if we agree or disagree. The first one is, darling, you can give your partner something else in place of an engagement ring.
It depends on what that something else is, but generally, probably not. What about you?
I mean, I wouldn't be mad at like a Tuscan villa, a private jet, a yacht. I have a few ideas, but they could come along. But we're all traditional. We've all drunk the Kool-Aid. I still would love that for sure. But yes, you can. You can give them anything is possible. Anything is possible.
I'm on board with all the things you listed, but not like a necklace or a pair of earrings. Like, no. It's a ring or a villa. Basically, those are your options.
Done. We should name the episode. It should be a ring or a villa.
Yeah.
I'm like, anything that could generate more revenue for me, like create another business. You could buy me a hotel.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind an olive grove. You know, we're here. We could talk. Okay. Having a child as a ring bearer always ends in disaster.
I disagree. I mean, that's like part of what it is, but I'm biased because I have a child. Look, I think for most people, if you're getting married and you don't yet have children, it's chaos and you're not really like, it can be more of an irritation than anything else. But as a mom, I'm like, oh, that mess up or that silly thing. Like, that's what life's about. Like, if they're really important to you, like you're not doing it for them to like be perfect. You're doing it for them to like be there.
And pro tip, you're not giving the real rings to the ring bearer.
Okay, why did I even answer that question? You should be the one answering that question because what the heck is that like for you? Is it like one of the most stressful things?
I'm never giving a toddler a set of diamond or gold bands to walk down said, absolutely not. It's a show. It's like Instagram, guys. It's not real. They walk down the aisle. They have a pillow. There's nothing on it. They just walk. Sometimes they don't even make it. So I can't count on them to get the rings to the end of the aisle. I cannot count on them. If you have a ring bearer, they are symbolic, baby. Your rings should go with your best man. Generally, I have the best man put on both rings on his little pinky or put them in a pocket square so that I know they are there. Or your maid of honor can have them in a little pouch, something. Or better yet, give them to the officiant before you walk down the aisle. Game changer. Sold. Do not give them to anyone under the age. Well, actually, just don't give them to anyone that's been drinking. Don't give them to anyone there's a lot of people you shouldn't give those rings to. But don't give them to anyone under 5, period.
Oh, man. You're the right person to be answering that question.
I was like, it does not always end a disaster if you don't set them up to be a disaster. This goes back to what we were just talking about. I never take my ring off, even in the shower.
It's fine. Meaning like everyone wears their rings differently. I take my rings off the second I get home. I also like work out almost every morning. There are certain activities that you should not be wearing your ring for. Like if you're weightlifting, don't do it. You're going to damage your ring at some point. If you're in the ocean, if you're cleaning with harsh chemicals, if you're swimming because your fingers can kind of shrink in water, which it happened to one of my clients in the shower. Her ring fell off her finger and went down the drain. Again, it's one person, but like these things happen. So you have to know yourself. You have to like, some people live in their jewelry and they're fine. They sleep in it, they shower, and it's no big deal. But, you know, generally there are some things I would suggest taking your jewelry off for.
You take your rings off right when you get home?
Yeah, it's like the first thing I do. all my jewelry. Like, I can't sleep in my earrings. I can't, like, it's.
It's like taking your bra off. That's like the, like, I'm like, I can't sleep in earrings. I can't, I don't shower or anything. And like, I like everything to be really cleansed. How do, I know this is an unpopular opinion, but cleaning your ring, how often should you clean it?
Again, everyone wears their jewelry differently. Meaning like some people, if you're wearing your ring all the time, you have lotion on it and stuff. Like, diamonds are magnets for oil. They love hand lotion. Even if you touch the, like, most people take their ring off and they touch the top of the top of their diamond, like, you're going to get the top of your stone dirty. But it's really typically like underneath where like dirt and debris and lotion and oil from your hands can gather, and they get dirty. So, I mean, I don't think you need to clean your ring more than like once every like few weeks. I think that's a little excessive, but I would definitely like have the stone checked and have it professionally cleaned like every 6 to 12 months. But cleaning, it's really easy. Just put like a little dish soap in warm water, let your ring soak, and then take it out and brush really gently with a toothbrush. And I mean, you can do it every week. It's not going to damage your ring, but I think it's a little excessive.
All right. Good to know. All right. Last unpopular opinion. Skip the ring insurance. You don't need it.
Do you want to answer that one for me?
Good luck, sister.
Exactly. That's what it's there for, in case it like accidentally falls off of the ocean or into the toilet or something. Like, just get it. It really, in most cases, is quite affordable. You know, for an average engagement ring, your insurance annually should like max out at like, I'd say $150 to $200 annually. And that's on the high end. So like, generally people can pay anywhere from like $7 to probably like $20 or $30 a month. And I think it's totally worth it.
I have nothing to say.
Do it. Just do it.
Just do it. Period. And thanks again to Jewelers Mutual for sponsoring this week's Unpopular Opinions. I mean, you heard Susie, having insurance for your engagement ring is so important, if not imperative. That's why Jewelers Mutual has been providing jewelry insurance for your most treasured accessories for over 100 years. Jewelers Mutual covers things like damage and disappearance, which homeowners or your renter's insurance may not. Their insurance policies typically have low to no deductible options compared to homeowners, which could cost you over $500. And I love that Jewelers Mutual works with your preferred jeweler to repair or replace your ring with a replacement of like, kind, and quality. Be confident wearing your jewelry this holiday season. Go get a quote today by visiting jewelersmutual.com/betches. That's jewelersmutual.com/betches. Susie, any parting words, any last thoughts, tokens of wisdom?
That I adore you in this podcast. It's been such a treat. And I'm just so grateful to be here and to be here with you.
Right back at you. All right, that's it for this week's episode of Betches Brides. Susie, where can people follow you and find your beautiful diamonds, darling?
Thank you. You can follow me on Instagram at susiesaltzman.com, S-U-S-I-E, or you could check out our lab-grown brand called Reverence Jewelry on Instagram. Those are the two best places to get inspired.
Awesome. I love it. You guys can follow the show at Betches Brides on Instagram. You can follow me at I Am Fallon Carter. Be sure to rate, review, and follow the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you're listening now. We'll have new episodes every single Monday, so please be sure to subscribe so you don't miss our next episode. Thank you so much for listening, and till death do us part.
Betches.